There's a genre of Sfarim known as Lomdish Sfarim. Sfarim which will take mitzvahs in Torah or sugars in Gemara and create a lot of academic distinctions about a given mitzvah or a given suga. And these Lomdish Sfarim, this general Lomdish Mahalich, is extremely popular in the contemporary yeshiva setting, particularly yeshivas which follow the tradition of Alojin from around the 1800s on. And this is pretty pervasive in yeshivas the world over, and even in many Hasidic yeshivas, there's a bias to follow the lumdus, these academic distinctions, which are generally followed in yeshivas which were originally of a Lithuanian orientation, but lumdus has spread and lumdus has pervaded many contemporary yeshivas. When approaching this derech halimud of careful conceptual analysis and distinction, one wonders, should this careful conceptual analysis be limited to just the conceptual analysis, or is there some spiritual meaning and some spiritual understanding we can derive from beyond the conceptual analysis? Now, it's certainly the case that it would seem from the Rambam and the Yad, particularly in Hilchos Suri Biyah, that somebody is able to achieve spiritual meaning and achieve spiritual connection just through the mere act of learning Torah in an abstract way. And similarly in Chassidus, the Tzemach Tzedek explains how just engaging in a abstract Limud HaTorah is able to bring somebody to tremendous spiritual heights, even without contemplating on spiritual takeaways of the lumdus, of the distinctions that they're going to make in their learning. Additionally, in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says that the very act of learning Torah ideas, even those Torah ideas seem to be completely mundane or completely academic, and seem to be talking about theoretical cases which have never happened and may never happen. As Alter Rebbe puts it, "Kishiyita Reuven kach v'Shem kach," Reuven will argue such, and Shem will argue thus. As is often the case when you're dealing with dinim mamonis, when you're dealing with monetary laws discussed in the Gemara, that you come up with all sorts of abstract cases, all sorts of possibilities of what somebody might argue in a monetary case. The Alter Rebbe says that engaging in that alone is spiritually significant. But nonetheless, Chassidus, and particularly the Rebbe, like to try and understand what is the spiritual meaning, the spiritual takeaway, an actionable, practical takeaway that we can derive from the lumdus. So in a sicha, in Lakutei Sichas, Chelek Gimel, for Parshas Lech Lecha, in the second sicha, the Rebbe explores the conceptual lumdus of Mila, and then from there, he tries to understand what its spiritual significance is. He takes the concept of Mila, splits it into a threefold conceptual distinction, a threefold lumdish distinction, and then from there, derives spiritual meaning from the lumdish distinction. So let's explore this. This is in Likutei Sichas, Chelek Gimel, second sicha, page 761. I'll read the sicha inside. Von dem was der Ebisch der hat ausgeklebt mit das Mille, als darf ge durch ihr sollen die meisten Ove sein in der Siras Keich, if alle Mitzvahs von die Bonin. The fact that Hashem chose the Mitzvah of Mila, that particularly through this Mila, that would be the act of the forefathers, which would empower all the Mitzvahs of the Jewish people, in that it's the only mitzvah maisis, it's the only physical mitzvah that Hashem gave the Ovis, which was similar to the mitzvahs we do nowadays. So as verstandig, we can understand, as in their mitzvahs, and mirum, as in yonim, as in klolis, as they care for all the mitzvahs. There must be some concepts in this mitzvah which are holistic, which pertain to all mitzvahs. We can understand this based on what the Rambam writes in Mer Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel. And Chelek Gimel is where the Rambam discusses the reasonings for mitzvahs. And the Rebbe notes that Zayin Harana Sachin Yonim Mer Nevuchim was Havni Yisayin Zayin Kabbalah. There are many things in Mer Nevuchim in the Rambam's God of the Perplexed which are based on concepts in Zoyar and Kabbalah. So this is a controversial statement, so let's explore it for a moment. The Friedrich Rebbe, in a few sichas, states that the Rambam had a Kabbalistic orientation, and the Rambam knew Kabbalah. The Rebbe in Rishimis, the Rebbe in his notebooks, which he wrote before he became Rebbe, says this is a very astounding thing, and he wonders how this could be, given that the Rambam is known as an arch-rationalist, as somebody who would seem to oppose the teachings of Kabbalah, meaning that we even have writings of the Rambam where the Rambam refers to the Sefer Shiur Koyma, which is an early Sefer for the time of the Amirayim, which has some ideas which seem mythical, which seem Kabbalistic, and which the Rambam writes about it in a manuscript that we have from the Kairo Geniza, and then the Rambam erases the name of the Shiur Kaima. But whatever the case may be, so the Rebbe says in his Rishimus that this seems bizarre to assert that the Rambam was involved in Kabbalah, particularly because the Rambam lived in the time before the revelation of the Zayar. But later on in his Nesias, later on as Rebbe, and later on in his Sichas and writings, the Rebbe does tend to assert that the Rambam knew Kabbalah and the Rambam had association with Kabbalistic ideas. And while this is a surprising assertion, there is actually a strong case to be made for the claim that many of the Rambam's ideas are consistent with the ideas of Kabbalah, and the Rambam would have had access to traditions of Kabbalah, even if they're not necessarily of the same type of a tradition that the Ramban had exposure to, and which we would classically associate with Kabbalah. And this goes to the extent that even a secular Israeli scholar, Shlomo Pines, who's considered to be one of the greatest Rambam scholars of the later 20th century, Shlomo Pines even wanted to suggest that the Rambam's perception of Achdus Hashem, of divine unity, coheres with a mystical perspective on divine unity, which actually very nicely is consistent with Chabad's perspective on divine unity. And if you want to further research a surprising claim that the Rambam knew ideas which are in Kabbalah and the Zayar, and there are many things in Meir Nevuchim which cohere with Kabbalah and the Zayar, there's a good book by Yaakov Gottlieb in Eretz Yisrael called Sachla Tanut B'Levush Chasidi, Rationalism in Chasidic Attire, which explores the association of Teres HaRambam and Teres Chabad. But that's just an aside. So the Rambam, Meir Nevuchim, writes, is Einer von Ditalmim if Mitzmila, one of the reasons why Mitzmila is given, is bechdei zu abschwachen die Teivos verbunden mit dem Eiver. It's in order to weaken our lust, and the lust which is generally associated with the organ of the Mila. And das ist doch in der Klalin in allen Mitzvahs. And that's associated with a general idea in all mitzvahs, that the Medrash in Bereshis Rabba, at the beginning of Perek Mem Dalet, tells us that mitzvahs were nitnu litzarif bahen esabrius, that Hashem gave us mitzvahs in order to make us more refined. Ois edlin oich dem guf, bizivet nitob in kein taiv in geschmack in gashmiz de gezachin. To refine the body until it will not lust and take delight in the physical. It will not be a slave to the physical. Und sein geschmack soll sein nur in yonam von kedushan. And its joy, its delight, will only be in holy things. So we should note that within Teres Chabad, says that you should not be a total ascetic, unlike some other traditions in Musar who endorsed extreme asceticism. In general, Teres Chabad tells you to fast a little bit less than those traditions would recommend, and tells you to enjoy life, but one is meant to enjoy life from a perspective of elevating things to holiness, as opposed to from a place of being sucked down, drawn down, and controlled by the things of the physical world. There might be an appropriate opportunity to enjoy an expensive steak or to drink a good bottle of wine, but one's life, one's passion, should not be about the great steak or the good bottle of wine. In addition to the aforementioned relevance between the mitzvah of mila and all mitzvahs, in that all mitzvahs are ultimately have some connection with removing one's desire and one's being stuck in the desires of this world and having some higher desire. Zainan Oich in the Prat of Mitzvahs Milo Angedeit in Yonim Kloliim Fun Avedis Adam. The details of the Mitzvah of Milo also symbolize very general holistic things in a person's spiritual service. In Mitzvahs Milo Zainan Fran Kanal, in Mitzvahs Milo there are a number of details. Drei Inyon, we find three different elements. Aleph, the pe'ula of mila, the action of mila, the actual act of cutting. That's etzem el zayin. Beis, was the yidver to un belaikt amol. The fact that the Jew now gets the status of somebody who has a mila, he's called a mohol, somebody who is circumcised. And gimel, eris kain, nitkain oral. The person does not have the status of an oral, of somebody who is uncircumcised. The ein teilung for mitzvahs mila in ot di dry protim is nit blois stam hakira. This composition of mitzvahs mila in these three different elements is not a mere academic distinction. Nor is it nagi eichel halacha, but it also has relevance to halacha. While yeder prat for the dry is nagi atzum kiyum for mitzvahs mila, because every detail of these three has some relevance to the fulfillment of mitzvahs mila. As zayin v'ran falin v'n blois tzvei from the protim. There are at times when only two of the three elements are present. Is the halacha as in Moz dan bavarn in oich dem dithin prat? And in such a case, the halacha says we also need to satisfy the third detail. The ainim verit kibarin agemolater. If somebody, for example, is born already circumcised physically, they have no foreskin. Zayin bin frad ditzvei pratim. So such a person has two of the elements. Eres amol. The person is circumcised, and there is oich nitkin oral. And the person is also not somebody who is uncircumcised, not somebody with a foreskin. It's felt by yimaber di pu'ula samila. But such a person lacks the action of mila. There was no mila done on the person. Allah requires that there be an action of mila. Therefore, is their din, and that's why the halacha is. We learn in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya Simen Reish Samach Gimel Sif Dalid in Hilchas Mila that somebody who is born without a foreskin still needs a ritual called Hatafas Dambris, where a mohel will prick the organ, will prick the area where the foreskin would have been in order to draw a little bit of blood, and that will satisfy the requirement of doing the action of Mila. So that's one example of a case where you have two of Mila's three elements, and there's a nafka min al halacha, there's a halachic application where you need to satisfy the third element. Now the Rebbe is going to discuss another case where you have a nafka mina to these three elements of Mila. Ben einimuk demalt und speter tuta pu'ula, hefich pulas ha-mila, moshach ha-losek. If somebody had a Mila, but later did some sort of cosmetic or surgical procedure in order to reverse the bris, and this is what Halacha calls mashchar lasei, somebody who draws forward the foreskin, is bayim given pu'ulas hamila when there is oich nitkin or. So on the one hand, the person did the action of mila. I mean, the mila, action of mila was done, and furthermore, the person is not an ariel. The person is not considered somebody who has a foreskin because anatomically their foreskin has been removed. But therefore, megir es in truma. And that's why the Rambam paskins in Echos Trumas that even a mashach harlasa is permitted to eat truma, because although it's the case that cosmetically the person has done an action to make it as if they have an orla, they do not in fact have an orla. Es feltim aber di mitzvah fun belay ben amo. But this person, says the Rebbe, lacks the element of remaining in the status of a mo, somebody who has a mila. V'gibach fear from Rambam, as there is mefer brisei shalavim avinu. Because the Rambam writes of such a person, of a person who draws forward the Arla, that they are somebody who has abrogated the bris of Avram Avinu. They've abrogated the Abrahamic covenant. Then Einer is Gebar and Gevar, mitzvei Arlas, on Mahat Molgeven Bloiz Einer from the Tzvei. Is Bayim Geven the Pa'ulas Mila, un Erez Oich Amo, Erez Abra Oich and Arl. So now they're bringing us a third example of a case where you can have one of the elements of these of this chakira not satisfying. The Rebbe says, let's imagine somebody is born with two foreskins, and you remove one of the foreskins in the act of bris. So says the Rebbe, on the one hand, the person has had the act of the mila p'ulas mila. The person also has the status of a mohol because you've removed the foreskin, but the person at the same time has the status of an orel since they still have one foreskin on them. So the Rebbe just explored how it's the case that we have an academic chakira in mila, in that we assert there are three elements of mila. There is the pu'ulas mila, the action of mila. There's the chalos shem mila, the status of having a mila, and there is a status of not being an RL. And the Rebbe gave us three examples where you can satisfy two of the conditions and have one of them not satisfied. In the Arum Girat that I brought up for Mitzvah Mila, in the three aforementioned details of the Mitzvah Mila, Zain Mirum is in Yonam Klalim in Avodah Zarah. We also see general details in the way that a person is meant to serve Hashem in this world. We can learn, we can derive spiritual lessons from this three-way chakira. Punkt Din in Mitzvah Mila, just as in the Mitzvah of Mila, Muz Zain di Pa'ula for Mila, there needs to be the action of Mila, the actual cutting of the foreskin. And from there, two results are meant to emerge. The mohul, status of being circumcised, and the status of not having a foreskin. So Rebbe says, just as we see this symbolized in the physical mitzvah milah, in our aveda, in our spiritual service, a person has to do an act of avedas Hashem, an act of spiritual work. And that spiritual work should lead to two results. One will be the result of having the status of being somebody who is circumcised. And the other will be having the status of somebody who is not uncircumcised, somebody who is not of a foreskin. Now there I was going to explain what does this actually mean symbolically. Mahul meant the Aveda Unkav fun Asi Taif. Circumcised symbolizes somebody who works on the line, on the path of doing good. Ezol upgedekt un anflekt verin der toiv as is da ba'yidin. That a person works on revealing and manifesting the good that exists in themselves. Azayn toiv zol zich oistrik in saibinigir zich alein. That their good, that their inner good will be expressed with respect to them themselves. Und trachten and to think, reden, to speak, und tonen to do, and limrat teir and kiyam mitzpel mamish, in the actual film of the mitzvahs, and talk to Yechalev in their daily lives, and saibin egeat tzveitin, and also with respect to others, so bavirken oichat tzveitin yidin, to influence another Jew, oi vifile eses nor meglich, to the extent that it's within their possibility, to the extent that it's within their power. That's the idea of mohul. Mohul is somebody who works on asi toiv, on doing good, both in their own lives and with respect to others. What does it mean, ene oril? What's the significance of somebody who is not, does not have a foreskin, who is not uncircumcised? In Aveda, in one spiritual work, meit der kav von sur meira. This symbolizes the line, this symbolizes the path of turning away from evil. Nitzu zayin kin oril. Not to be an oril, not to be somebody who's uncircumcised, unter shlitas ha'oril, somebody who is under the dominion of the uncircumcised one, which is a term used for the yetzer hara, the evil inclination, it says in the Gemara in Sukkah. Nitzu habin in zich kein ra and kein taivis. Not to have in oneself evil and lust. Nit kein graba taivis, and both not to have the more coarse, the more grotesque lusts. Mila, the Alter Rebbe tells us, symbolizes krisas ha'or lo hagasa, taking off the thick foreskin. Un oich nitkein edla taivis. And Mila is also meant to accomplish not having more refined lusts, meaning one can have lust for very coarse things, one can have lust for refined things. So you don't want to have either variety. And that's symbolized by priya, which is physically, the act of ripping off the foreskin's membrane, which in halach would be krisas orla adaka, cutting off the thin orla. Und punkt wie in mitzvah smila, is a filo ven leilad mo, felt by him their mitzvah. Und es mozayna tafestam bris, and just as in the physical mitzvah mila, even if somebody is born without an orla, even if somebody is born without a foreskin, they still need to have the drawing out of a little bit of bris blood. So what does that symbolize? So too, this exists in our spiritual service. The Alter Rebbe Zakt in Tanya, like the Alter Rebbe writes in Tanya, as der was is von der Natur amasmit, that somebody who's naturally somebody who sits and learns with tremendous constancy, bimele is a mekayim dem asetay mitzvah teva. Such a person is automatically going to be a well-behaved person, a good person, naturally. Such a person is nilud mo'ol. They're naturally born to be somebody who is a well-behaved, a good person. They don't have to put in effort. Oich is er von der Natur mitzunen. Or you have somebody who is also cold, as in they're cold to lust, they're cold to taivus. Er is kalt zu taivus. Uvemela, so naturally, is there upgehaten surmeira? This person is careful with respect to turning away from evil. He's enoi orel. This person does not have a foreskin, spiritually speaking, meaning this person is not somebody who is naturally drawn to evil. For this vegan, nonetheless, verte ungiruf in loy avada. But the Alter Rebbe says such a person, following the Gemara, is called a loy avada. Somebody is called such a person who naturally both turns towards good and naturally turns away from evil without putting in any effort is called somebody who has not served Hashem, who has not worked for Hashem. Somebody, such a person lacks work. They lack divine service. Such a person must work more to be more than their nature makes them. The same commentary applies to somebody who's turning away from evil and doing good came as a result of their effort once upon a time. But now, once such good behavior has already become habitual, that's called loyavade, and a person has to work to go beyond themselves. The Arungiradar in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe there explains in Tanya Perek Tesvav and onwards. And this is an unvising for Yadigid. This is a lesson for every Jew. As Ramuz Alamo, Horivin and Avaid Hashem, they constantly need to work, they constantly need to strive in their service of Hashem. A person should not suffice with the good they've already achieved. From yeder yid, because every Jew, afilu azavas is nit kin tzadik un oich nit kin bin. Hater nat rilche gota midis un ein gishavtsu zu tantoiv un von der natur hater oich nit kin shaychis zu gewiss anion von ra vir klart in tanya. And the Rebbe adds that even if a person is not a tzadik and even not a benini, everyone has some natural good. They have some natural proclivity to engage in good behavior and some natural proclivity to refrain from doing bad. As Tanya explains in Parak Yechassin onwards, as by Yedin Yidin is in Ganzen Aufgefechter in Yin von Kvir Chassashon. There the author explains in Tanya that by every Jew it's completely out of the question to deny Hashem's existence. So of course there are a lot of discussions of this that we have seen historically, that there have been Jews who have in fact given up their Jewish commitment. We see this in the time that Tzemach Tzedek, there were 50,000 Jews in Moscow who converted to Christianity, and the Mittler Rebbe has a maimer in this as well, L'hovenin Anshei Choyil. But nonetheless, the general klal in Chassidus is that a Jew would never do something to deny Hashem's existence, and even in a case where somebody does seem to deny Hashem's existence, at least in most cases, that act is because they think that by that denial, they are not removing themselves from their Judaism, they're not removing themselves from their connection to Hashem. And Chassidus tells us that a Jew's connection to Hashem is so strong, to the point that bizaz of them is a yid grade, that a Jew is prepared on kein shum tam und taine, without any rationale. Zich zum meisen nefesh zayin in ibritog in die schwerste feine kungin. That a Jew is ready to sacrifice their life and to withstand the greatest and strongest tortures in order not to deny their commitment to Hashem and deny their commitment to the Jewish people. So if them, even on such a natural inborn quality, is there ibrit de mente yirah? Does the aforementioned lesson apply? As even in the inborn good of every Jew, avoda work is demanded. Not only should we work on creating and refining good qualities which we don't naturally have, we need to also work on those good qualities which we have naturally, and to make them better, more refined, and elevated into holiness. This also helps explain what the Alter Rebbe writes in Shulchan Aruch Harav Madura Basra, in Hilchas Hashkamas Habayke, that Hagam as Gemar v'Ikir Knesis Nefesh Hakdusha B'Adam, who be Gimel Shon of Yemechon, that although it's the case that the primary and ultimate entry of the Holy Spirit into a person, the Nefesh HaKadosha, the Holy Soul into a person, is at 13 years and one day, meaning at a boy's bar mitzvah, or at a girl's bas mitzvah, that's why Chazal interpret the Pasuk Keheles, which contrasts the Melech Zokin Uksil, the old and foolish king, with the Yeled Chacham Umiskin, with the poor yet wise child. There, Melech Zokin Keheles, that Toiv Yeled Chacham Umiskin, better a poor but wise child, mi melech zokin uksil, than a old and foolish king, asher lo yachal li zohar oit, who no longer knows how to be cautious. So Chazal explain that Shlomo HaMelech is symbolically referring to the Melech Zokin Uksil. The Melech Zokin Uksil, the old and foolish king, refers to Yitzhara, whereas the Yeled Chacham Umiskin, the poor but wise child, refers to the Yetzer Toiv. The Yetzer Avet Ungrifen Zokin, why is Yetzer called old? Why is he called elderly? Because it's 13 years old in Yetzer Toiv. It enters the body 13 years before the good inclination does. And that's why the Yisutev is called a Yelet. That's why he's called a child, because he only fully enters the person at 13, and the Yitzhar has been around for a lot longer. Is aber Tchilas, the beginning, der Onoib Arainkum von der Nefesh HaKdusha, Duruch und mit dem Mechinech von Yiddish Kind zu Teremitzis und euch mit Mitzis Mila. So though it's the case that we learn that the end, that the culmination of the entry of the Yetzer HaTov into a person is at the age of majority, at the age of 12 or 13, nonetheless, the Alter Rebbe there explains that the divine soul begins to enter through the act of Mila or through Torah and Mitzvahs, through Chinuch within Torah and Mitzvahs, that it's a progression of the entry of the Yetzer HaTov. It's not a momentary thing that happens at the age of majority. Und der Tam if dem is, the reason for this is, the Teva von dem Guf von Nefesh HaBahamas mitzad Atzmam is zu ziehen sich zu jedem Dover Gashmim v'chumri. The nature of the body and the animal soul in their own right is to be drawn to every physical and bodily thing. V'yeshtet in Pasuk, like we learn also in Kehelis, Ruach HaBahim ha'yiredes hi l'mat l'aretz. The spirit of the beast descends below to the earth. And the way the Rebbe is teaching this, meaning there in Kehelas, the context is that miyedeh ruach adam ha'ilihi l'mayil ruach ha'behima ha'yiredes hi'lamata. Who is it that knows? When people usually do not discern that the spirit of man ascends above, that man's spirit is eternal, whereas the beast's spirit dies, the animal spirit descends to the earth and does not have eternity. But the way the Rebbe is teaching this pasuk is ruach ha'behima yiredes hi'lamata, that the animal spirit which exists within all of us descends below to the earth. It's drawn to physical, corporeal things. Und bishas as durich mitzvahs mila vert abgeschwacht der koch und der geschmack in gashmias. But when through the mitzvah of mila, the passion and the delight in physicality is weakened, as we learn from Meir Nevuchim. Und der yid bakumt durch dem a koch in geschmack in kedusha. And through the mila, and through the weakening of the animal soul, a Jew instead gets a delight and begins to cook. The word koch literally means cook, begins to become passionate about holiness. Dan bakumt der guf in sein primis to get the neshama knisas nefesh kedusha. Then does the spirit of holiness, the nefesh kedusha, begin to enter the body. As in when the passion of the animal soul is weakened, when the passion of the body is weakened, then space is made for the divine soul. Oiftim dozik in din. On this aforementioned ruling of the Alter Rebbe, the context there is in Hilchas Tehil Seidaim. So we learned that the Alter Rebbe said that the Gemar v'Knisas Nefesh HaKdusha, that the culmination of the entry of the Holy Soul into a Jewish boy is at the age of 13, and to a Jewish girl is at the age of 12. And Alter Rebbe there writes about, in Hilchas Netilas Yadayim, that we should be particularly scrupulous about Netilas Yadayim, particularly only after a child has become a halachic adult. But before a child becomes a halachic adult, we need to be less concerned with them about Nitilas Yadayim. And the reason being, says the Alter Rebbe, and this is an Indian discussed in Gemara and Shabbos, but is really expanded in Kabbalah, that Nitilas Yadayim is in order to remove the Ruach Rez, in order to remove the impure spirit which inheres upon a human. So Alter Rebbe there writes in Shulchan Aruch Harav, Madura Bastra, in Nitilas Yadayim, that the Ruach Hara does not, the spirit of impurity desires less to inhere within somebody who does not yet have the full spirit of holiness, who has not yet reached the age of 12 or 13. But nonetheless, as the Alter Rebbe, that somebody who is careful to be careful about Nitilas Yadayim of a child and not to touch a child before having washed Nitilas Yadayim, Kaddish Yomer Loi, such a person is holy, and that's a good thing, because the holy soul begins to enter a child after the time of Mila, and therefore the forces of impurity would want to adhere into this holy soul. So if Dem doesn't condemn on that ruling in Shulchan Aruch, but in the Alter Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch, it ungetzayechent kein makar. The Alter Rebbe doesn't bring any source for this ruling of his. Kemen Zagin, the Rebbe suggests, as their makers from Sefer Neiros Hamor from Yisrael Anakwa, that the Alter Rebbe derived this ruling when he read the Sefer of Menorah Samar from Rav Yisrael El Nakwa. There are various Sfarim called Sefer Menorah Samar. So this one was written by Rav Yisrael El Nakwa. Vor brengt halacha vididein Gemara, where Rav Yisrael El Nakwa brings like the teaching in the Gemara. Katan me'emasai ba lo'ilam ha'ba misha shenimel. A child, when does that child's soul enter the world to come, or when they have the ability to enter the world to come? From the moment they receive their milah. As von zint a yiddish kind, vet gemalt, vet er öfstein zu tchias meisen. The moment that a Jewish child receives a milah, they will enter, they will merit tchias meisen, they will merit to return in the resurrection. Das was a guf von a yidin can öfstein zu chias hamesim, that which a Jew's body will return in the resurrection, is a sulib der wirkung von der neshama öfen guf. That's a result of the influence of the soul, of the mind over the body, in an öfen pnimi, in an eternal sense. It's the psak from Neiros Hamor is misha shenimel, but the tinuk öfstein zu chias hamesim, a mocker zum psak von alten Rebben. As your unfang from the reinkun from nefesh kedusha in ayidin is durich mitzvah mila. So this ruling of the menorah samar, that from the moment a child receives their mila, they're going to return in tchias hamesim, that is the source for the Alter Rebbe's teaching that the holy soul begins to enter a child from the moment of mila. Even before the bris happens, even before a child is born, the neshama, the soul, already has a connection to the body. The Gemara tells us if a tinuk, vener is nach me'imai, when the child is still in the mother's stomach, the neir dalak loy al reishai, that there is a candle lit above the child's head, which doesn't mean there's a physical candle, but rather it refers to the spirit, the soul, which stands above the fetus. When mashpiin esay titzadik, and then the soul, and this soul which is about to be embodied, is told and is made to swear, Tihit tzadik v'alti rasha. You should be righteous and you shouldn't be wicked. Men dashveriti neshama, if you're ois fearing in them goof. We make the neshama swear about its behavior in the body. Then if it gebarn gevarn, when it will be born. Vaster fun zetman, from this we see, as the neshama hot shein dan afarbun mitten goof. That even then, even before the fetus is born, the neshama has a connection to the body. But this connection is a superficial one. It doesn't penetrate the body, it doesn't penetrate the fetus. As Chazal tell us, that there's a candle metaphorically lit over its head, but it's over the head, and it hasn't entered the body. The neshama laich ibrim. The neshama shines above the body. Other the rankum from the neshama guf in a primius, but the entry of the neshama into the body in an interior way, in a effective way, knisas nefek dikdusha, the entry of the Holy Spirit, does there it erst bishas mila. That only first begins at the time of mila. Ot di oibizak tetzvein yonim. Also, these two aforementioned things, vas mitzvah mila darf oiftan, the yidzol zayna mol, When it is al nit zayin kin oil, that the Jew should both be circumcised and not be uncircumcised. Jirkin zich ois oich in se sug mischar from mitzvahs. These express themselves in two sorts of reward that we get from mitzvahs. There's schar fun dem v'asei toiv. Is vaser is bolei lem haba. The reward for doing good is the fact that a Jew enters the world to come. Und der schar fun dem sur meira, and the reward for the turning away from evil, eini arel, for not being uncircumcised, is vasti chazal zagin, that corresponds with chazal tell us in Mesechas Erevin and in Bereishis Rabba. As Avraham Avinu yeshev al petzach Gehenna, that Avraham Avinu stands at the entryway to Gehenna, to hell, to the place of punishment. When er nemt fun dort arayis yedin yidin vasit nitkin arel, and he takes away from there any Jew who does not have the status of an arel, any Jew who is not uncircumcised. And ultimately, in the merit of the mitzvah of Milah, we will also be freed, will be redeemed from the subjugation of the Malchus and the subjugation of the impure kingdoms. And the Rebbe adds, Vashibud Malchus is their Zelba in Vigyanim, that being under the dominion of kingdoms which do not allow us to achieve our full spiritual potential is equivalent to being in a spiritual hell. K'mayim rezal, habet labris. Afal pi she'en yisol ma'isem tovim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goyelam muslam milah, v'vias Mashiach tzidkenu b'karav mamash. That Chazal say on the words habet labris, that Hashem should look at the bris, look at the covenant, that even if the Jewish people don't have any good deeds, so long as they retain the mitzvah of milah, Hashem will ultimately redeem them. Let's review. Of all of the 613 mitzvahs given to the Jewish people, the only one given to Avraham Avinu is the mitzvah of milah. In the second sicha of Lakutei Sichas Chelek Gimel for Parshas Lech Lecha, the Rebbe suggests that the fact that milah is the one mitzvah given to Avraham Avinu indicates that milah is a kloliistic mitzvah, that milah has some general lesson to teach us about all mitzvahs. And the Rebbe says we can see this in two ways. The first, says the Rebbe, is based on what the Rambam tells in Mar Nevuchim Chelek Gimel about milah. There, the Rambam explains that milah, the act of circumcision, is meant to weaken our taivas. It's meant to weaken the faculty of lust. And the Rebbe says this might be a symbol for all mitzvahs, that all mitzvahs are meant to remove us from lusting after this world, to remove us from being people who think that this world and its joys are primary, and instead to live for a higher purpose which transcends the world and elevates the world. So that's a general insight we learn from the mitzvah milah about all mitzvahs. But the Rebbe says we can also explore the details of milah a little bit more deeply and thereby understand something about all mitzvahs. So the Rebbe starts with a lumdish distinction, a seemingly academic distinction between three facets of milah. The first, is the Rebbe, is the pe'ulas ha-milah, is the act of milah, the act of removing the foreskin. The second is the chalois sheim mohu, the inherence of the status of circumcised, that once a person has a milah, they are considered mohu, they are considered circumcised. And the third is the chalois sheim eini oriel, the inherence of the name or of the status of somebody who is not uncircumcised, somebody who does not have a foreskin. So on the face of it, says the Rebbe, this tripartite distinction between the Maisa Mila, the Chalais Shem Mila, and the Chalais Shem Eni Ariel seems to be a very academic distinction. But, says the Rebbe, when you look at it more carefully, we see that this tripartite distinction actually has a nafka mina l'halacha, and it also has a nafka mina, it also has relevance in terms of a symbolic teaching with respect to Avodas Hashem, a symbolic teaching with respect to the way in which we're meant to serve Hashem. So in order to demonstrate this chakira has relevance halacha, the Rebbe shows that you can have the presence of two elements, but not have the presence of the third, and the third is going to create a need to introduce the third lahalacha. The first example the Rebbe gives is somebody who is noilad mohol, somebody who is born without a foreskin. So in such a case, you have the presence of the chalois shem mohol and the chalois shem in the arel, but you do not have the presence of the maisa hamila. So in such a case, Shulchan Aruch tells us that in order to get the Maisa Mila, in order to get the action of Mila, to introduce the action of Mila, you need to do Hatafas Tambrias, you need to extract a little bit of blood from the place the foreskin would have been. Next, as the Rebbe, let's imagine you have somebody who engaged in foreskin restoration, a Moshachar Lase, somebody who tried to draw forth their foreskin. So such a person has the Maisa Mila, the Maisa Mila was done to a person, and they also have the status of the Enei Arel, because they do not, in fact, have an Arla. But they're missing the status of Mohul, of somebody who's circumcised, because they've tried to undo the appearance of circumcision. They've engaged in foreskin restoration, and the Rambam calls such a person a Mefer Brisei Shel Avraham Avinu. So in order to be a part of the covenant again, they would need to undo the foreskin restoration. Finally, says the Rebbe, let's imagine you have somebody who was born with two arlas, who was born with two foreskins. So if you cut off one of the foreskins, then you get the Maisa Mila, and the person also has a status of a mohul, but they do not have the status of an arel, somebody without a foreskin, because they do have a foreskin present. So we see that this tripartite distinction does actually have an afkamina la'alacha. But now, the Rebbe wants to take the further step of showing us this tripartite distinction between Maisa Mila, Chalosh Shem Mohul, and Chalosh Shem Enei Arel, the act of Mila, the inherence of the status of somebody who is considered circumcised, and the inherence of the status of somebody who is considered a person without a foreskin, that actually has a nafkamina, that has practical implications for our spiritual aveda, for our spiritual work. The Rebbe says that mohul, somebody who's circumcised, that symbolizes somebody who does work along the lines of doing good. The revelation of goodness, of asei toiv, of doing good deeds, of learning Torah in their lives. The idea of Enei Arel, somebody who does not have a foreskin, that symbolizes somebody who stays away from doing evil. So this explains the idea of Mila as the idea of removing the veil of evil, removing that which blocks, that which occludes holiness within the world. So by removing the foreskin symbolizes removing evil, and revealing the Mila symbolizes revealing good. But, says the Rebbe, we can't suffice with being a Noilad Mohul. It could be that somebody is born in a state where they are naturally a good person. They naturally have proclivities to do nice things, to be a nice person, to engage in Torah study, and to better themselves and the people around them. And similarly, you could have somebody who's born as an Enei Arel, somebody who does not have the proclivity to do evil, does not have the proclivity to do bad things. Says the Rebbe, even here, symbolically, a person has to engage in the Maisa Mila. A person has to engage in the active work of turning themselves into a better person, and engage in the work of actively sublimating even the slightest parts of evil and the slightest parts of negativity that exist within themselves. So we see that this apparently luminous distinction is actually quite practical. A person should always strive to be a mohul. A person should always strive to be a circumcised individual, meaning a person whose life is suffused with goodness and acts of kindness, both with respect to themselves and with respect to influencing others. A person should strive to be an Enei Arel. A person should strive to be a person who is not caught in negativity, who is not caught in a place of occlusion of holiness. But you should never suffice with where you are. Wherever you are, no matter how good you are, and no matter how far you are from evil, a person should always be actively in the state of doing a Maisa Mila, always actively try to refine themselves on the path of good, and to further distance themselves from the path of evil, no matter how subtle that evil may be in their lives.